I do want to have the mind of God. I don't believe I'm going to read a text, so you, God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I'm just going to jump in to what I feel. I hope you allow me to just preach to you for a few minutes. I try not to be too long. I was preaching somewhere last year, and there was a little old cowboy in the back, and somewhere in the middle of the message, I lost track of time, and I asked the question publicly. I said, "Man, what time did I start?" Sometimes that can get interesting when you ask a public question. People start shouting all kinds of stuff. So I asked the question, "Man, what time did I start?" And this little old cowboy in the back, he shouted out, "A long time ago." He let me know I started a long time ago. But he didn't offend me, I promise. I thought it was great. I started laughing. I found out later some people in the church didn't think it was funny. I thought it was great. He didn't offend me. In fact, I looked back at him and I said, "You're the only honest person in this room. Everybody else wanted to say what you just said, but they wouldn't say it." So if somebody shouts out a long time ago, then I'll know it's getting a little bit too late and we got to move on tonight. How many believes in the favor of God? How many really believes in the favor of God?
Amen.
Amen. I have felt some thoughts about the favor of God recently and praying and studying and just trying to see what God would speak to my heart. And I don't claim to have the whole say of the matter tonight, all right? The favor of God is such a vast subject, and I believe it could be taught on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we still wouldn't cover all of it. And so I don't want to come across as though I've got the whole conclusion of the matter. But if you would just bear with me in my folly and allow me to preach what God has put in my heart about the favor of God tonight. Hallelujah. I believe that there is a visible side to the favor of God. Somebody say visible. I believe that there is a side to the favor of God that it becomes a visible thing. When God puts his favor on somebody, God will take an individual and put them up on the rooftop. He'll put somebody in the brightest lights. He'll put people on the biggest stages. The scripture is full of instances where the favor of God would take someone out of obscurity and out of isolation. And all of a sudden, everybody knows who they are. And God has elevated them. And God has used their voice and touched them and anointed them. And it's a very obvious thing. It's visible. You can see it. You can see the blessing. You can see the anointing. A lot of times when the favor of God begins to move and work, there is tangible evidence. There's tangible proof. Hallelujah, that the favor of God is moving and working. I believe in that aspect of favor. How many believes in the visible side? Amen. I believe that when God blesses and puts his favor on an individual, that people around can see it, that God's blessing and things are happening, and it's something that's visible. And sometimes the favor of God is moving on somebody close to us that we know, or maybe we go to church with them, and even though it's not our life, it's somebody else's life, sometimes it seems like we can almost taste it ourselves. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We can see it, we can feel it, we can almost taste it on somebody else. The Bible talks about how that the favor of God would bring blessings. I mentioned it this morning, just quickly, Deuteronomy. The favor of God would bless our fields and our barns would be plenty. It's talking about abounding, being bountiful, and having increase and having blessings. It's a visible thing. Hallelujah. I got to looking in scripture of instances that makes reference to the favor of God. And it's interesting to me that in many cases it so clearly describes it as being something that's visible. Anybody with me tonight? I don't want to put you to sleep. I'm going to preach in a minute. The Bible says God gave Joseph favor in Potiphar's house. Everything he touched prospered. And his master saw the favor of God upon him, and they took note that there was something special upon him. The scripture says that God gave the Israelites favor in the sight, everybody say the sight, of the Egyptians. And because of this, as they were leaving Egypt to cross the Red Sea, before they crossed the Red Sea, as they were leaving Egypt, they spoiled the Egyptians. The Egyptians saw the favor of God upon them, and they blessed them. The scripture says that Ruth had favor with Boaz, that she could glean in the fields. There was something about Ruth that Boaz took note of her. He could see something on her, and so he allowed her to glean in the fields. We know that Boaz provided safety for Ruth in the fields. We know that Boaz talked to his young men behind her back and told them, hey, I want you to watch out for her, take care of her, draw water for her, and also I want you to drop handfuls on purpose for her that she can take big blessings and bundles of blessings home to her mother-in-law. And the favor of God didn't stop there, but the favor of God continued in Ruth's life until she ended up owning the field. She married Boaz, and so that became her field. She went from a beggar, I guess you could call it that, in the field. Somebody just hoping to just grab a little bit here and there, and then she ends up owning the field. The scripture says, as Samuel was growing up, he had favor with God and men. The scripture says God gave David favor in the eyes, everybody say the eyes, of King Saul, that he would play the harp for him, and he would have access to come into the king's courts to play the harp. The scripture says Esther obtained favor in the sight, everybody say the sight, of all that looked upon her in the kingdom. And the scripture says that she found favor in the king's sight more than all of the other young ladies involved in that competition. The scripture says that Daniel had favor with the prince of the eunuchs. We know that Mary found favor with God, that she would bear the Messiah, be the mother of Emmanuel. And we remember what the angel told Mary when he visited her, and he said, thou art blessed, and what? Anybody help me? Highly favored. Thou art blessed and highly favored. The book of Acts chapter 2 says that the believers had favor with all the people. All the people of Jerusalem could see something. They could see the favor of God, the blessings of God. And because of this, the Lord added to the church daily. Hallelujah. The favor of God is very visible. It's undeniable. And if there's any maturity in our vision, in our reasoning, in our perspective, then we will see it and we will recognize it. Amen. I believe that when the favor of God begins to move and work, that there will be praise reports. How many likes praise reports? Hallelujah. I believe that there will be victory reports when the favor of God is moving. I believe there will be revival reports. I believe in financial prosperity reports of God opening doors and God blessing. Hallelujah. I believe when the favor of God moves that there will be a testimony that's burning on the inside, that we've just got to stand up in church and we've got to tell our brothers and sisters what God has done, what the blessing of God has brought to our life. Hallelujah. I believe the favor of God, sometimes it'll bring a praise break. Anybody know what a praise break is? Can I just be me here tonight? You know, when the music's going fast and the bass is going do 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 do, and everybody has a praise break and everybody gets out and just rejoices a little bit. Hey, the favor of God, when it moves, it'll bring a praise break to your spirit. You'll feel like running. Hallelujah. When the favor of God comes, there will be a joy. There will be a zeal. Hallelujah. I believe when the favor of God begins to move, that God will open the windows of heaven upon an individual or upon a situation. And everyone around will know this is the favor of God. Undoubtedly, undeniably, God is working and God has done this and God has worked this out. I believe the favor of God can move upon an individual. I've seen it happen that it seems like an individual begins to be blessed and things begin to happen. Doors begin to open. Promotions begin to happen at their job and financial blessings begin to come. Has anybody ever seen that or experienced that? Hallelujah. It's the favor of God. It's the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I've seen the favor of God move upon a home and in a family, and things begin to happen. Children come back to God, and there's a healing, and there's things that begin to happen in the home because of the favor of God. I believe that the favor of God can move upon a church family, amen, an individual church family in a city, hallelujah, that things begin to happen in that church. Anybody believe that? Hallelujah. I believe that God knows how to put his favor upon a church body, a local church body, and things begin to happen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I still believe in a 100-soul revival. Hallelujah. If we believe in the book of Acts, we believe in a 1,000-soul revival. Hallelujah. I've never seen it. I've never been a part of it. But I believe that God can do anything, and there's nothing impossible with him. Hallelujah. I was speaking to a pastor, and he had an uncle who was an old-time preacher. Some of us may know his name. Some of you may know his name. But anyway, it's a church that God gave tremendous revival somewhere back in the 70s and 80s, and there was growth. And this old-timer's nephew is a pastor today. And he told me, he said that his uncle used to tell him that there was like a 2-year window of time, a season of time, that it was as if the favor of God or the sovereign hand of God, like we talked about this morning, had just come upon that church. Amen. And every service, somebody was getting baptized. Every service, somebody was getting the Holy Ghost. And for a certain amount of time, they couldn't hardly come together for just a little prayer meeting. And some stranger would walk in through the door off the street and get the Holy Ghost. And the church doubled, the church tripled in just a couple years during that time. Hallelujah. I believe in the favor of God today. How about you? I believe the favor of God can move in a church and things begin to happen. Hallelujah. There's churches that I've observed and I've noticed, and it seems like there's a favor of God that's moving there. And even in North America right now, there's churches that come to my mind. Amen. It seems like every service people are getting baptized. Things are happening. I don't know about you, but I believe in it. And I'm hungry for it. And I desire it. Hallelujah. I believe that sometimes we get it all backwards. The Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Is that what it said? Sometimes I get it backwards and I find myself weeping over those that are rejoicing. Saying, man, how they get all of that? How in the world, man, how's that happening? Wow, that's just, it doesn't seem fair. I wish that happened for me. And sometimes I'm rejoicing over those that are weeping, saying, thank God I'm not the only miserable person in the world. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to get that backwards. Hallelujah. If God's blessing a church somewhere else, or if God's blessing an individual around me, hey, I wonder what would happen if we run the aisles right here for what God's doing somewhere in Florida. Oh, I wonder what would happen in our church if we leap for joy when somebody gets baptized in Colorado. Come on, if God fills 10 people with the Holy Ghost in some other city, we ought to get excited and say, God, I believe in it. I believe in it. And we want it in our church. We want it in our family. We want it in our city. Oh, clap your hands, somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, the favor of God is a visible thing that we can see and we can take note of it. Amen. But I don't believe that the visible side is the favor of God in all of its totality. This may be different tonight. I don't know if I'll have us jumping too much, but I'm just going to preach my heart tonight. There's people that try to take the totality of the favor of God and wrap it up and condense it down into a nutshell, that it's only the visible. It's only what we can see. Hallelujah. It's only what's evident to the naked eye. It's only what fits our human reasoning. And we can condense the favor of God down to our viewpoint and our perspective, so it's easy to understand and it's easy to figure out. And what happens when we take the totality of the favor of God and put it in a nutshell of our viewpoint and our eyesight, what happens is we can begin to confirm the favor of God upon situations, or we can disannul the favor of God. Am I making sense today? Hallelujah. Based on the visible, we can begin to confirm it. Yeah, they got it. And that, oh, yeah, they got the favor of God. And then we can look here and just instantly assess, oh, no, they don't have the favor of God. Hallelujah. We can get out our binoculars and we can zoom in and we can analyze something. And we can ask ourselves the question, do they have prosperity right now? Do they have praise reports right now? Do they have momentum right now? Are they experiencing great blessings and great progress right now? Do they have abundance and wealth right now? Do they look successful right now? Or does it look like they're struggling right now? Does it look like they're laboring and trying and spinning their wheels? And it looks like there's not a lot happening. It looks like there's not a lot of progress. And it looks like life is a grind. I hope I'm making sense to you. And it looks like life is a challenge. And we can ask ourselves the question when we look at something, and we can say, am I impressed with what I see, or am I unimpressed? Hallelujah. That scares me. That really does. I don't want to get to the place that I can stand in the place of God and start pointing my finger around. Hallelujah. Amen. I can point to somebody that's struggling. No, they don't have the favor of God. And I can point to somebody that's abounding and things are exploding and blessings. And I can say, oh, yeah, yeah, they got it. Oh, them, no, they don't have it. Amen, they got it. They don't have it. And people can get to the place that they can instantly assess it and pronounce it and confirm it or disannul it. Hallelujah. And it gets to the place that it becomes easy, and we can think we've got it all figured out. Amen, but I want to preach about a God that works a little bit deeper than our viewpoint today. I want to preach about a God that works a little bit deeper than our perspective, than our eyesight. Hallelujah. Amen. If you only believe in the visible side of the favor of God, and what you can see right now, you see what happens is you will confirm it on somebody that really doesn't have it. You can see something impressive and say, man, they got the favor of God, man. Hallelujah. Let's get out our binoculars for a minute. Let's zoom in and look at King Saul. And let's check out his life as king, all right? I'm going to preach in a minute, I promise. Some of you are thinking, you're running out of minutes. But let's look at King Saul's life, his status, his well-being. If you were to zoom in on his life, it looks pretty good. Man, he's been anointed by Samuel, the prophet. He's a man of power. He's a man of abundance. He's got thousands of servants. He's got a mighty army. He's got prosperity. He's got momentum. And Saul is buying and trading every day. I'm talking about if you zoomed in and just looked at his life and day-to-day operations, he's buying, he's trading, he's expanding, and you could ask yourself the question, man, have you seen his house? Have you seen his chariots? Have you heard about his treasure chest and all the gold and silver that he has? And it would be easy to proclaim and to announce and to confirm that Saul has the favor of God. Hallelujah, but if all we focus on is the visible and what impresses us, we wouldn't fully understand that Saul's heart wasn't even right with God. He was far from the favor of God. We wouldn't understand that the prophecy had already come to him and said the kingdom's going to be taken away from you and it's going to be given to a neighbor of yours. Hallelujah. If all we could focus on was the visible, we wouldn't understand that Saul had an ugly spirit and a hateful attitude, and he was far from the favor of God. Hallelujah. I want to preach tonight that when you see impressive things all around you, it doesn't always confirm or mean that it's the favor of God. Hallelujah. When you see something that impresses you, it doesn't always confirm that it's the blessing of God. I've got a friend today. He married a young lady that I grew up with, and she married him and moved far away from Kansas, and he's a good young man. Amen. And somewhere in the last few years, he began to walk away from God. He began to stray from the altar. He began to stray from convictions in his life, consecrations in his life. And it was in the process of backsliding, in the process of getting cold towards God, in the process of bringing things into his home that he had stood against all his life. Amen. That his finances exploded. I mean, really exploded. He became a multimillionaire in just a short amount of time. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, amen, something that impresses us on the visible side, it doesn't always mean it's the favor of God. I believe the psalmist was getting confused at some of this. The visible side, just like me and you get confused sometimes when we see the prosperity of the wicked. The psalmist said this about the wicked. He said, they're not in trouble. They are not plagued. They have more than their heart could wish. He said, I've cleansed my heart in vain. All day long I've been plagued. I've been chastened every morning. When I thought to know this, it was too painful to me until I went into the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? He said, until I went into the sanctuary. And you know what happened when he went into the sanctuary? I believe that he got a revelation in the altar, in some place of prayer. He got an understanding that it's not all in the visible side of life. It's not all in the success. It's not all in the visible prosperity. But there is a God who is invisible. There is a God who is a spirit. He is invisible. And he works in the invisible. Come on, he got a revelation that you can't always see the blessings of God in my life. You can't always see the... Come on, you might not be impressed. Hallelujah. I believe something got a hold in the spirit of the psalmist in the sanctuary that he understood, hey, people around me might look at me and they just see somebody that's struggling. They see somebody that's in the pit of despair, but they don't see the goodness of God in my life. Hallelujah. Something got a hold of him and said, hey, don't anybody dare write me off. Don't anybody point a finger at me and say he don't have the favor of God. Hallelujah. Something got a hold of him and said, I've got the favor of God in my life. Oh, clap your hands with me, somebody. Hallelujah. Something got a hold of the heart of the psalmist in the sanctuary that he understood the favor of God is not always manifested by visible things. It's not always manifested by visible things. Hallelujah. Something got a hold of him. He said, hey, I've got the peace of God. Nobody can see that, but I've got the peace of God. I've got the mercy of God. I've got his anointing. I've got his salvation. I've got his mercy. I've got his grace. Hallelujah. Something got a hold of him. He understood, hey, the God of the good times is also the God of the bad times. The God of when the visible looks exciting and successful is the same God of the struggle. Hallelujah. Anybody hearing me today? Oh, the God of the day is still God of the night. Anybody remember that old song? That's a song my mom used to sing when I was a kid. The God of the good times is still God of the bad times. You remember that song? Southern gospel, I thought. I don't know, whatever it is anyway. The God of the day is still God of the night. Hallelujah. Anybody believe that God still works deeper than our vision? Amen. He works deeper than our perspective. He works deeper than our reasoning. Right. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can confirm it on somebody that don't have it. But I'll tell you what really scares me is if we get so caught up in the visible side of life, we could disannul the favor of God on somebody that has it. Boy, that scares me. It really does. I don't ever want to find myself in that place, pointing my finger at a situation or an individual, and there's a struggle there, there's a grind there, and then it doesn't seem impressive, and to point my finger, hallelujah, to sit in the seat of the scornful, and to be a judge or a critic, and say, no, they must not have the favor of God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those same binoculars that we use to zoom in and look at Saul as king. Let's just zoom over with those same binoculars and let's look at David out in the wilderness, out in the desert, a vagabond. He don't have two pennies to rub together. He don't have nothing. And if we believe, all we believe was in the visible side, we would say that Saul has more favor of God in his life than David does. Oh, hallelujah. Man, Saul's got prosperity reports. Old David, man, look at him. He's got poverty reports. Hallelujah. Saul's got great testimonies. David's got great travail. Are you with me today? Amen. Saul, man, he's having praise breaks. I'm just trying to cheer somebody up here tonight. But David's got heartbreaks. He ain't dancing and shouting about no praise breaks. He's got heartbreaks. In fact, he's staying at the Heartbreak Hotel. I'm older than what you think I am. Anyway. Man, if we just think about it. If we could bring King Saul and bring David into this service tonight, at that time when Saul is king and David is a vagabond, and King Saul's up on the front row up here, and Pastor Ware said, "Brother, King Saul, would you stand up and testify?" And man, King Saul, he'd be so excited. He'd stand up and he'd begin to rejoice about all of the visible things that are happening, that God is doing in the kingdom. And man, God's blessing me. We've got 10,000 more sheep last month, and we've got more herds and flocks, and God's blessing the kingdom. We've got more gold and silver, and we're breaking out the walls of the barns, and we're building bigger, and we're adding on to our palace, and we're getting more servants, and we're just moving and going forward, and everybody have a praise break and run the aisles. And then Saul would sit down, and the church would calm down finally from the praise break. And then David, the vagabond, just barely had the energy to slip in the back door. And he's, man, I hope I'm not killing this on a Sunday night. It's quiet, but I'm feeling pretty good right about now. And David, he's so beat up, he's so scarred in life, he's in the struggle, he's in the darkness, he's in despair, he don't even want nobody to see him, so he's hiding in the back. And after King Saul's praise break testimony, Pastor Ware said, "All right, David, we want you to stand up back there and testify." And I believe David would stand up, and the first thing he would think is, "Man, I ain't got nothing to talk about." Anybody ever felt that way? You hear people talking about all that's happening, man, we're busting out and things, and then, man, I ain't got nothing to talk about. I'm just in a struggle.
Right.
Hallelujah. The first thing David might think is, man, Saul's testifying about bigger barns. I don't even have a barn. I'm sleeping in the cave. I wish I had a barn to sleep in. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, I believe this is how David would testify. Saul testified about all the visible stuff. David can't talk about visible stuff. But all David could testify about was an invisible God in his life. And I believe David would stand up and he would say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." I believe David would stand up and say, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's not time to get depressed when you're in the struggle of life. It's not time to feel like God doesn't love you when you're in the struggle of life. It's not time to think that somebody else is superior to you when you're in the struggle. You need to stand up and praise God and magnify. Come on. God loves you and he cares about you, and he's no respecter of persons. Oh, clap your hands with me, somebody. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, the eye test would tell you King Saul's got more favor than David, but we know that's not the case, is it?
Amen.
We know that David had more favor of God than King Saul did, but it wasn't the visible side. It was the invisible side.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there's a visible side to this, but there's also an invisible side to the favor of God. Oh, I feel like preaching to somebody here tonight that when you can't put two pennies together, don't let the devil tell you you don't have the favor of God. Come on, when life's falling apart, when nothing's working, don't you listen to the lie of the enemy. Don't let your conscience tell you that you don't have the favor. Come on, it's not always in the visible. Hallelujah, you got to rise up and say, God is still good to me anyhow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord, somebody. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe there's a mentality among us that we can't say we've got the favor of God. We can't say we've got the blessings of God. We can't stand up and testify and say God's been good to me and he's blessed me. There's a mentality that we can't do that until we've got visible things to back it up. Until we got our big fancy house that impresses people and that nice new car that impresses people with a certain name brand. And then we can start telling people, hey, God's really blessed us. And it's just, hallelujah. That's not how David operated. David didn't wait for the visible to come around. I like what David said in Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Amen. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I got ahead of myself. I'm too excited here tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My mind's going blank. He maketh me. He restoreth my soul. Anyway, he goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And he said, thou art with me.
Amen.
Somebody say, thou art with me. Hallelujah. There's a mentality among us sometimes that we can't say that God's really with us until we've got something visible in our life to back it up. I'm telling you, if all you've got is a cave to sleep in, if all you've got is a wild berry in a desert to pick up and eat and barely survive, come on, you still got to open your mouth and say, God is with me. Come on, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you till the end of the world. Hallelujah. Anybody feel that way today? I may be in the struggle. I may be confused. I may be frustrated, but God is with me. He's with me. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, David had just as much favor of God when he was sleeping in a cave as he did when he was sleeping in the king's palace. But it was invisible in the cave, and it was visible in the palace. He had just as much favor of God, amen, when he was sleeping on a rock as he did sleeping on the king's bed. Come on, somebody. He had just as much favor of God when all he had was a little violin or a harp in his hand out in the backside of the wilderness taking care of some sheep. As he did when he had the king's scepter in his hand and he was executing judgment. He had all power and authority in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to somebody. There may not be tangible evidence. Amen. I'm preaching to somebody. You feel like you don't have tangible evidence and there's not proof in the pudding on the visible side.
Right.
Oh, but I'm telling you, God's favor is with you. His Spirit's with you. He's watching over you. He loves you. He cares about you. Hallelujah. The favor of God was all over David. On the invisible side, when life was a struggle, the favor of God was all over him, but you couldn't see it.
Right. Amen.
There was nothing tangible to confirm it. There was no treasure chest full of gold and silver.
Right.
There was no palace. There was nothing, but the invisible favor of God was all over him,
amen,
keeping him alive. Come on, somebody.
Right.
David should have died in the wilderness. Nobody plays hide and go seek that. I used to think I was good at hide and go seek. Nobody plays hide and go seek that good. That was the invisible favor of God keeping him alive when thousands of men were after him. Hallelujah. The favor of God was all over him. Protecting him, sustaining him, keeping him alive, keeping his body from sickness, keeping his heart beating. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to somebody. You're frustrated on the visible side. You're discouraged. But I'm preaching to you that God's keeping you alive. He's keeping your heart beating. He's sustaining you. Woo! Oh. I believe every time God touched David in the caves, some of our favorite scriptures that we read, the book of Psalms, were written by David when he was depressed and beat up in a cave. And he would write, many there be that rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that set themselves round against me round about. That's some of our favorite scriptures. Amen. I believe that as God was touching him in the cave, I believe as God was strengthening him, anointing him, protecting him, preserving him in the cave, I believe as God was letting David know, David, I know you're frustrated about the visible the visible landscape of your life. I know you're frustrated about how life looks. But every time God touched him to write another psalm in the cave in the wilderness, I believe God let him know, David, you just hang on. The visible side's coming. God's going to work out the visible side of stuff. Hallelujah. I believe that's God's department. Our job and our duty and our obligation is we got to keep that invisible hand in our life. I believe God was letting David know, David, you just keep walking with me. You just keep praying. You just keep being consecrated and dedicated. And the visible side's going to work out. I feel like preaching to somebody and telling you, if you'll stay faithful and keep praying, if you'll stay connected to that invisible hand of God, God will take care of the visible side. Do you believe that? Oh, the scripture said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's invisible. Nobody can see that. That's our obligation. That's our duty. We got to take care of the invisible side. We got to keep our heart right with God. And all these other things will be added unto us. All the visible side will come together. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I hear somebody saying a long time ago, better move on. Oh, there's a good spirit here tonight. I appreciate what I feel in this sanctuary. Hallelujah. Why don't we slip up a hand to the Lord just for a minute? I love you, God. I praise you, God. I thank you for your hand. I thank you for your spirit. Oh, in the darkness, in the despair, in the heartache. Oh, the favor of God is still with me. The blessing of God is, even when it's not visible, nobody can see it. Oh, all people see is the struggle. All people see is the despair. They don't see the hand of God on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I was reading in the book of Job. And, man, sometimes I don't like to read Job, but sometimes we got to read Job. But man, Job had it all. He had the invisible side of the favor of God. His heart was right with God. Is that right? He had the invisible side right, and he also had the visible side of the favor of God. He had the blessings. He had the abundance. He had the wealth. He had all kinds of things. But God, we know the story. God told Satan, he said, hey, you can go down, and I'm going to let you rip away all of the visible side. Just take it away. But you can't touch his invisible side of the favor of God. And so Job lost all of the visible stuff. He lost all the stuff that would impress people that come to visit him, his friends, acquaintances, whoever. And all he had, he was stripped down to nothing but his walk with God and his integrity with God. Hallelujah. And I was reading Job, and next time you read it, maybe you can remember this and think along these lines. It's just kind of interesting. We know his friends started coming to him. and messing with him and challenging him, saying, "What's wrong with you, man? You don't have the favor of God. What's you got sin in your life? Something's not right. You've lost your home. You've lost your children. There's something not right in your life. You're not right with God." Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing when the visible side of our life is not impressive, we can feel like people is putting our favor of God on trial.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. You go through a dark time, a struggle, and you can just feel it. You feel like your favor of God's getting put on trial. And I believe you got to be careful with that, because sometimes we get sensitive and every little thing can hurt when we're in the struggle of life.
Right.
But Job's friends are putting his favor on trial. What's wrong, man? You ain't got the favor of God. But I found, man, I felt like doing a praise break. Did you realize you didn't know there's a praise break in the book of Job, did you? I'm about to tell you where there's a praise break in the book of Job. There's two of them. In the King James Version, there's two places where Job's friends were coming at him and just beating him up mentally about the blessings of God, the favor of God. And Job pointed his finger back at his friends and he made this statement word for word. He said, "I am not inferior to you." Anybody ever seen that? I've never noticed that. I've read the Bible since I was a kid. But man, it jumped out at me and I felt like having a little praise break right in the book of Job. Hallelujah. "I am not inferior to you." You know what he was letting them know? Hey, I may not have a house to sleep in. You guys are sleeping in your houses. You still got all your flocks and herds and money. I've lost everything. But I'm not inferior. I don't care what possession somebody has. I don't care how high or whatever status. I'm not inferior to you or anybody else, because I've got the hand of God with me. I've got an invisible hand of God with me, and I'm not inferior to somebody else just because the visible side looks better. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about having an ugly attitude and going around pointing our finger at people's faces. I'm not talking about that. But I believe there ought to be something in our spirit that says, "I am not inferior." Come on, when you're going through a trial, when you're going through brokenness, and you see somebody around you that's got blessings and abundance and things are happening and exciting and prosperous, something ought to rise up in your spirit. Hallelujah. I'm not inferior to anybody. I may not have what they have, but I've got the hand of God with me, and I'm not inferior. Oh, I feel like telling this church in Augusta, you are not inferior to any other church.
Hallelujah.
Oh, can I tell this church, you're not inferior.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank God if another church has a 500-member choir. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. But you are not inferior to any other church. Hallelujah. The hand of God is here.
Right.
Come on, the Spirit of God is here just like it is anywhere else. Oh, the anointing of God is here just like it is anywhere else. The gospel is being preached here just like anywhere else. People are getting the Holy Ghost here. People are getting baptized in Jesus' name here. God's setting people free here. Come on, we're not inferior.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When your friend pulls up in a Rolls Royce, you just run over to him, point your finger in his face and say, "I'm not inferior to you." No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm having fun tonight. I'm kidding. I'm not talking about that. Hallelujah. We can feel so inferior because of the visible side of our life. Oh, hallelujah. Man looketh on the outward appearance. Is that right? Man looketh on the, that's what man does. Looketh on, judgeth and analyzeth and draws conclusions on the outward. But the Lord looketh on the heart. Hallelujah. When the Lord looks at us, he don't see our houses. He don't see our cars. All he sees is my heart. All he sees is your heart. Come on, somebody. And if you've got a heart after God, if you've got a prayer life, if you've got a relationship with God, oh, you've got his favor. You've got his favor. Let's all stand here tonight. Oh, let's raise our hands for a moment and reach out to the Lord. I love you, God. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe one time or another, each and every one of us, we're going to feel like we've been stripped of everything until all we've got is that invisible hand of God. Hallelujah. And it's not easy sometimes. It's not easy to face people. It's not easy to see. Sometimes it's tough when the visible side's not right. Oh, but we got to keep that revelation in our heart. God is with me. His favor is not just visible. There's an invisible side to this. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I wonder if there's a few people that's in a wilderness tonight. I wonder if there's somebody that's in a place of frustration tonight. Oh, I wonder if there's somebody that's discouraged tonight by the landscape of life. Life don't look the way you want it to. Reality is not what you'd like it to be. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I believe if we'll do our part and do our best to get a hold of that invisible hand, hallelujah, God is still a God of blessing. God is still a God that'll work things out on the visible side. Hallelujah. Oh, let's reach out to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Somebody help me respond. Let's see what the Holy Ghost will do for us tonight. Oh, let's see what God would do for us tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder if there's somebody that's got a testimony like David would have. If there's nothing impressive to talk about, all I can do is throw my hands in the air. All I can do is weep before the Lord and say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. All I can say is, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Anybody believe God's with you today? Hallelujah. Anybody believe that God's a God of seasons? Oh, he's a God of seasons. God will put us in a desert sometime, just like David. God will put us in a dry place. God will put us in a financial struggle. It doesn't mean that we don't have the favor of God. Sometimes the very thing that's putting us in the struggle is the favor of God.
Amen.
I don't care who points their finger and disannuls it and say, no, they don't have the favor of God, they're struggling. Whew, you better be careful, because it could be the favor of God that's put that struggle there.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've preached in churches, evangelizing and traveling. I've preached in a church that couldn't hardly get past 10 people in their church for 20 or so years. And they just kept fighting and grinding, praying and fasting, all night prayer meetings and knocking doors. Amen. And the church I'm talking about right now, in just the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, this church has more than tripled. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, it'd been real easy those first 20 years. It'd been real easy for people to point their finger and say, what's going on over there? What's happening? Man, that our church, we busted out the walls every 3 years and we've done this and that. And man, they don't have the favor of God. You would look like, I hope it's okay to say, you look like a fool. I don't want to speak out of line here today. But you would look foolish, I'll say it that way. Anybody that would point their finger at the church I'm talking about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and say they don't have the favor of God, what's going on? Hey, God's a God of seasons. We don't know what he's doing. We don't know what he's up to. Hallelujah. And God has brought the visible side around. All that church had for 20 years was the invisible hand of God. But God's starting to bring the visible side. Oh, hallelujah, I'm telling you, there's no telling what God's about to do on the visible side. Do you believe that today? There's no telling what God's about to do in this church. There's no telling what could happen. All we got to do is just keep walking with him and keep trusting him and keep trying our best. Oh, let's raise our hands and let's give God a shout of praise right now. Oh, come on, somebody help me. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him, let's praise Him, let's praise Him. Come on, I'm encouraging somebody to stay in the fight. Keep praying, keep believing. God's going to show up. God's going to do a word. God's going to bring a blessing somehow, some way. Hallelujah. I wonder if there's somebody that needs a blessing tonight. It feels like stepping out of your pew and coming down to this front tonight. I wonder if there's somebody that feels like getting a hold of that invisible hand. Oh, hallelujah. Amen.